First, we read Ephesians 6, 10 through 19. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation, ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may be open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. And let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this opportunity to gather this morning. We pray, Lord, that as we hear the preaching of today, that your Holy Spirit would work in our hearts. Lord, be with Pastor as he brings a message to us today. And Lord, we do pray if there's someone here that doesn't know you as Savior, they might come to know you today. We pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yeah. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained, too heavy for mirth and song? When the daylight flees, when there's no relief, is it aught to him doth he see? Oh yes, he cares, I know he cares. His heart is touched with my grief. When the days are weary, the long nights dreary, I know my Savior cares. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The the Bible tells me so. I know my Savior cares.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Ben. That was a good medley, wasn't it? Putting those three songs together there, he does care, and he leads us day by day with each passing moment, and he loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. We only know about God because of what God has revealed to us. God has revealed himself to us in a general manner through creation, and in a specific or special manner through the revelation of God's word. And so the liberal mindset says, I know God because I experienced this, or no, we know God because of how he's revealed. We only know about God what he has revealed to us in his word. And we know in his word that he loves us. Amen? He loves us. That's kind of sometimes a hard thing to grasp onto because we know ourselves. And to grasp on the fact that God loves us. You hear a lot of, and I've mentioned it recently, you hear a lot of self-love proponents, but really what we need to grasp onto is God's love for us. And that's good enough. If he loves us, that's good enough. We do love ourselves anyway, and if he loves us, that's the most wonderful thing to grasp onto in all the world. Take your Bibles again, please, and turn to the book of Ephesians. We talked about the times in which we're living. Sunday morning and Sunday night, back to back, we coupled thoughts with that. And this morning's message certainly can go along with that theme. And I've entitled my message this morning, Battle Ready. Battle Ready. We are in a battle. We have been, as God's people, since the fall of man, a battle against sin. The world, the flesh, and the devil, a battle against Satan in many ways. And we're in a battle today. Certainly, the heart and soul of America is in a battle. We know that. And elections coming up, that's always a battle. But for the Christian, we as Christians are always in a battle. When we let our guard down, that's when we're going to be facing trouble. And so the passage of Scripture this morning deals with being battle ready. I went to basic training in June of 1974 and went to Fort Dix, New Jersey for basic training, and then went to advanced, what they called advanced infantry training, which was your specialty that you were trained in for, and I was what they called a radio relay and carrier attendant, which means I sat in the back of a van on a five-quarter truck and operated radio, setting up communication for Army area communication, and if I was in a war zone, my lifespan would have been very short because the first thing an enemy tries to get rid of is the communications. And I thought I'd be better off there than in the infantry. But anyway, thank God I never did see war, and God bless those who have. I didn't experience that. But point being, we went through basic training to prepare you for the basics of infantry. Basic infantry training is what it was called. And then you'd go to AIT, advanced infantry training, to learn your specialty. And then with just a little bit more specific training concerning what battleground you were going to, you were supposedly battle ready. Many people during the Vietnam War would go through basic training, AIT, and write to Vietnam. And so preparing the soldier to be ready for anything that they would come up against, and I don't think there's any way the mind could ever be prepared for what the soldiers, airmen and seamen had faced, Marine Corps had faced in the different battles. My my hat and my goes off, and my salute goes out to those who have stood in battle zones. Amen?
Amen.
And God bless all of them. But in Ephesians chapter number 6, the scripture deals with Christians being battle ready. We're in a battle. I want you to notice again, verse 10. Finally, my brethren. The finally there, just as an aside, the first three chapters of Ephesians deal with the Christian's standing in Christ. We're saved, we're redeemed, we're justified, we have a home in heaven. You know, our standing in Christ, chapters 1 through 3. Chapters 4 through 6 of Ephesians deal with our walk in Christ. How we stand is what God has done for us. How we walk is what we do in that standing. And so as the chapters 4, 5, and 6 talk about our walk in Christ as Christians, and so he comes to the last part of the letter, which we've labeled chapter 6, but the last part of the letter, we don't normally write letters in chapters, right? But, of course, they did that. They inserted them years ago. I forget the year that the translators inserted the numbers in there so that we can find things easier. And still people have trouble, right? Ephesians, where is that? But anyway, it's across the seas. So, Ephesus. But anyway, he comes to the last part of chapter 6. He says, finally, brethren, you're settled and you're standing in Christ. I've given you things that should govern and guide your walk in Christ. And then he says, finally, you're ready to launch out. You're ready to accomplish the mission that I've given you to do. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Now, the battle that we face is, it comes to light in things we see, but it's really a battle with things we cannot see. The unseen battle that goes on around us that affects those things that we can see and touch. Behind the governments of the world is an unseen spiritual battle guided by the prince of the power of the air, Satan himself, to eventually accomplish his goal in his mind to usurp authority over God the Creator. That's what's really happening always in our world. The mystery of iniquity doth already work, the Bible says. And the Holy Spirit, he who now lets, will let until he be taken out of the way. The Holy Spirit hinders the complete control of satanic power. But understand, we don't wrestle just against things we see. That was illustrated in the story of Elisha and his servant. And Elisha's servant saw the host of the enemy army camped around him. And Elisha said, there's more with us than with you. The guy said, what are you talking about? And I'm paraphrasing. And then Elisha said, Lord, open his eyes. And God opened his eyes and he saw the angels camped around about them. See, our eyes are not open to what really is going on in the spiritual world. But there is a battle going around us. And the Bible says here, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. Sometimes we get the idea that it's people that we're wrestling against. And that's the face of it. But the inspiration behind the people is satanic. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities. Talking about different levels of authority here. Principalities, powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. That is our battlefront. And so verse 13 says, wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. To withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, and I couldn't stop myself from reading the next word when Jeff was reading that because I was getting into it up here. Thankfully, someone else helped me on the next verse, and they jumped in too, so I didn't feel quite as bad. I don't know who it was. But having done all to stand, stand, therefore. Stand, therefore. Having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. There are churches in California today that are facing perhaps persecution. I'm not sure of all the details, but I know that there are well-known preachers there that could be facing jail time. If they held their services in Walmart, they'd be fine. But if they're holding their services in their churches, they're not fine. And I haven't confirmed it, but I heard of one church in California, a well-known church. I've heard the preacher speak before, this is what I'd heard, that they posted a closed sign on the church door, authorities, and said that if they showed up this morning, they'd be arrested. Oh, good-sized church. There's another well-known pastor who's requested prayer, and you've probably heard of John MacArthur, he was potentially facing jail time for holding church services. Now, I'm not necessarily a proponent of that particular person, but they believe the Bible, preach salvation by grace through faith in Christ. There's other well-known churches there. It was California when I was in Bible college. It was California that where some preachers were arrested in the late 70s, early 80s for preaching against homosexuality. That was fought in court, and they let it go. But it's an insurgence of demonically inspired acts against the people of God. And so, Christians, wherever we are, need to be battle ready. That's what I want to talk about. Let's just have a moment of prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray right now the Holy Spirit would fill me, and Lord, you'd minister through me. I pray that you'd minister to each heart here. Lord, you've given us many different prescriptions in your word for daily living, for peace. And here you've given us the prescription to be battle ready. So I pray that we'd take heed and apply these truths in our lives. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We're commanded in this passage to stand our ground for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's very interesting that the armor that's mentioned here, there's nothing that covers the backside. Christians should never turn and retreat. We should always be advancing. The gates of hell shall not prevail against the Christian. We charge the gates of hell with the gospel, those that are headed to hell, with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against the advancing child of God. We're commanded to stand our ground for the Lord Jesus Christ. The word there, withstand, means to set one's self against, to withstand, to resist, to oppose. Someone's trying to push your door in, and you're standing on the inside with all your might, pushing against that door to withstand. To withstand. To set against. It's to set oneself against. It's a determinate idea where I am not going to let this cross a certain line. I'm going to withstand that evil. And against whom do we stand in this passage of Scripture? We do have a foe. If you would notice, it says in verse number 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. Back to verse number 11, put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. To stand against, to set yourself against the wiles of the devil. The wiles of the devil. The word wiles there, we perhaps get our word methodology from it. And the idea of the wiles of the devil means to lie in wait with cunning arts, with deceit, craft, or trickery. Remember, the beast was more subtle than, the serpent was more subtle than any other beast. More subtle, more crafty. Crafty can be a good thing, but when it comes to Satan, it's a bad thing. Because he uses craftiness to accomplish sinful purposes. And so the idea here, the wiles, the deceit, the craft, the trickery of the devil. So the Christian is to be battle ready, to stand, to resist a foe, Satan, who comes against us in craftiness, with trickery. And then another interesting word there, it says to wrestle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. We wrestle. So in standing against, we're also wrestling. And the word wrestling, it really is the idea of a contest between two in which one is endeavoring to throw the other and pin them down. Physical wrestling. We wrestle not. So we're standing, but in standing, we're wrestling against one that is attempting to throw us down. Like a wrestling match. The devil's trying to knock us down, pin us to the ground with his hand to our neck to keep us from doing what God wants us to do. And we're to stand against his wiles. And so the 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 8 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour. Understand, Satan will beat whomever he may, whenever he may, and however he may. He doesn't have a set prescription. You know, if you're standing from the upright position in wrestling, one of the throws, one of the things you can do is the hip throw where you put your arm up around the guy's head and you step in and throw them with your hip and bring them down. Right, Seth? You've learned that one in wrestling. And, you know, the hip throw. And, or of course, you got the single leg takedown, the double leg takedown, all kinds of different things in wrestling. Come on up, Seth. I want to do it. No, I'm afraid you're getting big enough to where I might not be able to handle it. But so it's like a wrestling match. You know, here's my ground, here's his ground, and he's trying to come against me, and he's going to try to lock up with me, tie up with me, and throw me any way he can to get me down, to pin me down, to disable me from doing what I ought to do as a Christian. He will beat whomever he may. As a roaring lion walks about seeking whom he may devour. He'll beat whomever he may, whenever he may. Don't give a toehold to the devil. And however he may, no set prescription. He's after all people, but especially he's after the people of God. So I want you to understand here this morning, I think we could label you the people of God. Most of you have given testimony that you've received Christ as your Savior. Satan is after you. He's after you. Especially if you're trying to live for God. Especially if you're trying to rear your family in a godly manner. Especially if you're trying to be a testimony to lost people at work. Especially if you've witnessed to your neighbors and friends. Satan is after those who are God's people, especially those of God's people who are actively trying to live to the glory and honor of Jesus Christ. And he wants to render us useless for God's purposes. Useless. Trip us up, chew us up, swallow us up to make us useless in God's vineyard. The analogy in this passage of Scripture is given us of the soldier's armor. Many have waxed eloquent on the armor and each intricate aspect of the armor and its usage, including its shape, its material, and so on. Interesting facts. But it's given as an analogy. The focus for us here is that we're to stand in defense like a soldier. And the analogy of the articles of personal protection that we have spiritually that we can utilize against, not flesh and blood, but against the devil. Protective girdle for the hips. A breastplate for the vital organs, the heart. A pair of shoes to protect our feet. A shield to deflect objects hurled. A helmet to protect the head, a sword to deliver blows to the enemy and defend oneself, an action to take that energizes the armor. Standing, according to this passage, is our counter move to withstand. Using the different items that are given here, be it the shield, the sword, the helmet, the breastplate, the girdle, the shoes, using this armament, we're to stand, to withstand, so that we are not tossed to the mat and pinned. Standing is our counter move. Withstanding. When I was in high school, I remember wrestling a guy from Afton, New York, and I wrestled the 98-pound weight class. I would have a lot of trouble getting down there right now. In fact, I could do it twice maybe. But anyway, the 98-pound weight class, and I remember wrestling a guy from Afton who was really good. He really knew the moves. I knew some, and I was decent, but he was really good. And I remember first he got the takedown and rode me the first period. I couldn't get a reversal. And the second period, he was up, I was down. And he then put a move on me that I've never had anybody else put on when I was wrestling. And I don't know what they call it in nowadays, but he put the crucifix on me. And to describe it is he would tuck his, if you want to see it, he'd tuck his inside leg inside my inside leg, wrap it on my foot, and take my arm, go across my back, and bring my arm up around his neck, and then just roll back and arch, and you're like this. And you want to die. But that's not an option, okay? And you know what? He beat me. I can't remember, to be honest with you, if he pinned me or not, but he beat me. And the worst thing in the world is to be humiliated on the wrestling mat, because it's just you and the other guy. You know what? I didn't have the armor, the right move to counter it. And what God is doing here is he's saying, listen, I'm giving you the moves. Satan is coming against you, but I'm giving you the counter. Stand, but stand with this armament, and it is the counter move to the devil in the wrestling match that you are facing are, first of all, truth. Truth. The armor of truth. It's likened to a protective girdle around the hips. It protects a soldier's ability to walk, to stand, his strength of mobility. When you ruin the hips, you completely ruin the walk. We have no ability to stand without the strength in the hips that truth can give us. Many people try to stand on emotional strength or, you know, something that's really moved them. It only lasts as long as it moves you. If we're standing on emotional hype, it goes up and down. But our strength to stand, the strength in the hips, comes from truth. It is that armament that we need. My dad would often say, if you stand for nothing, you'll fall for everything. Truth is our foundation for strength and mobility. The devil has deceitfully ruined many Christians' ability to stand by diverting them away from fundamental truth. Many things that I could, not rabbit trails, but sub-points that I could talk about as means the devil has used to divert us from truth. Liberal theology. The confusions over versions of Scripture. Diversion. The devil has deceitfully ruined many Christians' ability to stand by diverting them away from fundamental truth. I don't believe that we can stand for the Lord in our day without standing, having our loins girt about with truth. By the way, that comes from Scripture. I'd ask a personal question of each one individually if I could. But really, are you taking in the Word of God for yourself? It is the most important armor for you to be able to walk. Our walk for Christ is connected with the truth, the strength for the hips, to walk for Jesus Christ. And, you know, if all you get is spoon-fed messages on Sunday, your ability to walk Monday through Saturday will be greatly hindered. Hopefully, what you get spoon-fed from the pulpit is sugar on top of what you've been eating every day. All right? Or just kind of accents it or helps you understand the truth a little bit better as you read it. 2 Corinthians 10:5 says this, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. The Christian needs to put out of his mind the diversions that Satan would bring through deceit, and in place of it, fill the mind with something that's substantial, that's lasting, that's time enduring, that will never fail, the Word of God. Compromise disables us from the spiritual battle. Jesus said in his prayer to the Father before he experienced the cross, he prayed, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So the truth of God's word itself, I mean, name any topic, the word of God is true. I don't care what scientists tell me what about the origin of the world. I've read Genesis 1, and I've read on through Revelation 22, and I've learned that God in heaven, who made the world, told us about it. And I'll trust the truth. Amen. The truth. The truth of God's word protects us. So as a Christian, you're facing a battle, You better arm up with the truth of God's word, but also connected with that, the truth of our circumstances is a protection in our hearts and minds when we face the battle that that Satan launches at us. I've often told people who are standing in opposition to hurtful lies against them to arm themselves with the truth of that circumstance that they know. It doesn't matter what anybody else thinks if you know the truth of that circumstance. And it's something that will help you stand. The truth of God's word, and he's a liar, and he brings accusation against you, but you know the truth of the circumstance, and you stand with your loins girt about with truth. Truth is kind of like the repetitious instruction and repetitions that one goes through to be ready for battle as a soldier. You go through things over and over again. You establish the truth of it until it comes natural in the time of battle. The underlying foundation, like learning wrestling moves or any sports action, it kicks into gear when you need it the most. And then there's righteousness. Righteousness. To what is it likened? It's likened to a protective breastplate, protecting the heart and other vital organs. The heart is the center of life. If one gets severely wounded here, it's over. The law enforcement training, which many law enforcement people have gone through. When I was a reserve officer, Berrien County Sheriff Department, I went through training that taught this. Law enforcement training teaches one to shoot for the center of mass, where the vital organs are, in order to stop a threat as quickly as possible. People say, why did they shoot him in the hand? Because you're taught you're going to stop the threat. You stop the threat. How do you stop the threat? You hit them where it will stop them. And by the way, they need to keep teaching law enforcement the same things they've done for years. Amen. I'm just going to throw that in for free. And I support law enforcement. I know there's Barney Fifes among them. Okay? I know that. I was one. Without law enforcement doing the right thing in the right way, we would have total anarchy. But anyway, stop the threat, the heart. Righteousness is the protection of our life. Righteousness. Keep, in Proverbs 24, or 4, verse 23, it says, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Righteousness protects the heart. Protection of our life. Now think of that. We have first the imputed righteousness of Jesus Christ as a source of life. Righteousness placed on our account. So Satan launches his attack against you. You're a lousy, good-for-nothing liar. You've done wrong things, and you're not as faithful as you think you are and as people say you are. And you say, excuse me, I have the righteousness of Jesus Christ on me. And like Pilate, you'll have to say, I find no fault in him. The imputed righteousness, Jesus is called the Lord, our righteousness. When we received Christ as our Savior, God imputed, placed on our account the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Don't let the devil tell you otherwise. That's how God sees you now. Our life is on his righteousness, not our own. The devil may attack us on our shortcomings, and the practical aspect of righteousness and our protection giving us victory is the declaration of Christ's righteousness. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. We've been justified through his blood. But there's also the aspect of practical righteousness that is also a protection for us. The righteousness produced in our actions. There's the righteousness that's placed upon our account at salvation. But then there's righteousness that is produced in our actions as we walk with the Lord. That's what the walk of the believer is all about. And let me tell you what, when Christians can't stand up and say, you know what, I've been living right, I've been doing my spiritual workout, and you're not going to knock me down when they say, you know what, I know, I'm just not living for the Lord like I ought to. That's a bad position for a Christian to be in. When I wrestled in high school, I never had any problem making weight because I weighed 93 pounds and wrestled 98. And I could eat a full lunch the day of the wrestling match. And who's now my brother-in-law, Terry Bice, he would be making himself regurgitate and everything to get his weight down to wrestle whatever, 167 or whatever he wrestled, to get down to make the weight before he wrestled. So he'd be weak when he'd go to the mat that night. They do it a little differently now, but that we'd weigh in just before the match. And in order to get there, he'd have to starve himself and other things that are not really publicly discussable. But, so, you know, to make that weight and consequently be weak. And here's the Christian. If there's things that we're doing that are making us weak, we can't withstand like we ought to. And there's that righteousness that comes as a practice in our actions that's important. Christians that are not doing the right things that they know to be right in their daily walk are subject to being thrown to the mat by the devil. That's why it's so important to do right. The righteousness, the incorporation of doing that which is right, is a protection for us against the wiles, the accuser, the wiles of the devil, the accuser of the brethren. So we need to be careful in our walk. We don't need to give the devil fodder to use against us in his battle to destroy us, as he tried with Job. Well, we were admonished in Scripture to be blameless, one against whom charges cannot stick. They'd be false charges. Well, that's the practice of righteous behavior. Sometimes people won't witness because the devil says, you know, you haven't been living like you ought to live. And so the person, when he has the opportunity to witness, won't, because the devil's got him in a headlock, says, you're not doing what you ought to do anyway, so don't try. The third thing, the gospel of peace. As armor for the Christian, preparedness to advance the cause of Christ. What is it likened? It's likened to protective footwear. Protective footwear. Combat boots in our day, if you please. How important it is to get good protection on a soldier's feet. It can make or break the soldier. I think I shared this recently. I know I shared this thought when I preached down at Crown Point just recently, but when I was in basic training, they issued me a pair of boots that was about a half size too big. And so there was a little bit of play in my heel. And we went on the road march to the range. And after we'd gone on that road march to the range, and we fired our weapons all day long, our M16s at the range that day, we sat down to have chow in our, you know, little mess kits that we had. Better make sure they're clean before you use them. And those mess kits that we had. And I won't explain, but anyway. And my feet were just killing me. So I took off my boots, and around the back of the heel on both feet, I had a blister that was about an inch and a half wide that went from one side of the heel all the way to the other side of the heel on both feet. And then I had a red streak coming up the one leg just in that day. I asked him to go get my drill sergeant, Drill Sergeant Lewis. He was about 5'7", black guy. Just I loved him to death. He was a great drill instructor. But he came over and he looked at that and he said, you're going to have to ride home on the truck. Yay. And it's March. You're going to have to ride home on the truck. They took me in and I ended up being in the hospital for a week while I was in basic training for with blood poisoning. Happened just that fast. Because my boots weren't right. How important the boots are. Having your feet shod with what? Preparation of the gospel of peace. The Christian, if he's going to stand against the wiles of the devil and withstand, must be prepared to give the gospel message. If you can't give the gospel message clearly, you're not ready for the battle. There's a lot of confusion about how is one saved today. Will everybody be saved? No. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, well, how can they call on him in whom they've not heard or believed? Well, we have to share with people what Jesus Christ, God's Son, did for them on Calvary. And be prepared. Everyone here in this room this morning should be able to go through the plan of salvation. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. But God commended his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Everyone in this room should be able to go through the basic plan of salvation with someone. Otherwise, you're going to have feet problems. And you won't be able to walk and stand like you need to. What if you're in a situation sitting there with someone and they pour out their heart and they're thinking perhaps about committing suicide? You better be able to give them the gospel message. That happened with my wife one time when she was working at Best Buy in South Bend. The manager said to her, I need you. She had established a good testimony for the Lord. Said, I need you to go talk to somebody out in the warehouse. She went out in the warehouse. She didn't know what was up when the manager calls you to his office and says, she went out to the warehouse there, and there was a 17-year-old young man who was seriously contemplating suicide. And she sat down with him, talked to him about the love of God and what Jesus Christ did, and he received Christ as his Savior. Not only did it save his life, it saved his soul. And he began then going to a church in a Christian school in Elkhart after that. You never know when that opportunity, your feet got to be shod. With the preparation of the gospel, prepared to give the gospel of peace. God help us. I mean, it's God made the plan of salvation simple. It's very complex in how God produced it. But it's very simple in the presentation. Amen? So simple, a child, lest we come like child, we can't even enter the kingdom of heaven. Prepared to give the gospel of peace. We need to be marching forward. One of our weapons of warfare or our counters to Satan is that we're charging the gates of hell with the gospel of peace. And he can't stop that. Amen? When you quit witnessing for Christ, you've taken your boots off. When you're actively trying to witness for Christ, you're going to be more careful about your walk, going to be more careful about your talk, going to be more careful to be the right person so that your message is credible. The devil has all kinds of confusing messages he wants people to hear besides the simple gospel of Jesus Christ. And then faith. Faith. To what is it likened? It's likened unto a shield of protection, deflecting fiery darts from the enemy. Launching fiery darts. And the shield of faith deflects them from hitting you. Faith, belief, faith in God's word, a deeply rooted conviction resting upon God and his word, deflects the fiery darts of the wicked. It deflects faith. Believe in God. Faith quenches all of his darts. The darts of doubt, of discouragement, the darts of disobedience, the darts of deception, the darts of diversion, the darts of disappointment. I had a young man tell me just recently, he had been involved in ministry, and he told me just recently that he got out of it because he was disappointed in some of the pastors with whom he had served. I'm sorry for the disappointment, but if God called you, don't quit. Amen? Keep serving. You know, we all have disappointments in people. Some people say, I don't go to church because someone at church bothered me. You go to the grocery store. She gave you wrong change one time. You go to the gas station. You go to other public venues where there are hypocrites galore. Don't let that stop you from going to church. Amen. The dart of disappointment, we face them as Christians, but don't let it stop you. Faith. This is what God says about me, what I need to do. Forget about what anybody else. I'm putting up the shield of faith. And then, of course, the dart of desperation. Sometimes we failed miserably and we feel like we just can't go on. Well, a Christian might get knocked down but never knocked out. We might fall, but when we fall, we're not utterly forsaken, for the Lord upholds us. The mat we fall on is Jesus' hand. The righteous falleth seven times, yet rises up again. Faith quenches all the fiery darts. When the guards and the soldiers aboard the ship on which Paul was prisoner hurled their negative, doubtful darts concerning the fate of all on board during that great storm that they faced, denying what Paul said the Lord had shown him concerning sure safety, Paul cried, "Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me, the shield of faith." God will deliver us from you, O King, the shield of faith. Hear the devil's fiery darts about the lying deception of evolution being hurled at this generation and douse them by believing the scripture. God said. Through faith, we understand that the world was framed by God. The darts of immorality that are shot at Christianity today to cause them to accept immoral behavior need to be met with the shield of faith in God's word. Faith is the victory that overcomes the world. Believe in God and his word in the face of anything that's hurled against you. And then there's salvation. What's it likened to? It's likened unto the helmet protecting one's head. When I was in the Army, they don't do it this way now, but we had a steel pot and a helmet liner. How many of you, anybody remember them? The steel pot and the helmet liner. The steel pot, do a lot of things with that steel pot but in the field. But anyway, the steel pot, and then it had a plastic helmet liner that fit up into it, and then, you know, you fastened them together and you pulled down that steel helmet on your head. And it would protect your head. By the way, I wish all motorcyclists would wear helmets to protect their head. Amen? Just threw that in there too. But The helmet protecting the head. What's he talking about? The helmet of what? Salvation. That's the knowledge that you're saved. The personal assurance that you have been born again. I used to sing a chorus, do you know that you've been born again? Do you know that you've been born again? Does the Spirit dwell within? I forgot the rest of the words. But do you know? It would end, do you know? Know that you've been born again. Do you know? The knowledge of salvation. I believe it was Dwight Moody said, no Christian will ever do anything substantial for God if he doesn't have assurance of his salvation. If one does not know for sure he's saved, he cannot be battle ready, because that basic understanding and assurance in your heart that you belong to God no matter what. Fear not him that can destroy your body, but fear him that could destroy both body and soul in hell. You know, whatever they do to us physically is nothing if we're saved. Amen? I mean, the three Hebrew children, we're not going to bow to you. Our God will deliver you. But if not, we're still not going to bow, because with the shield of faith, we believe God. And God protected them. But had they burned, God would still be God, and they'd been with him in glory. You can't lose. I'd rather go to heaven standing than laying down on the mat to the devil. The assurance of salvation. And I'll say this to you. If you do not know 100% sure that you've been born again, we've given the gospel so many times. Now then, do it. Bow before the Lord and say, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. My sin would send me to hell, but I believe you lived and died and rose for me. That you love me, that you offer me salvation, so I ask you to forgive me my sin, come into my heart, and be my Savior. And Jesus says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into him. He said, him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you don't have assurance of your salvation, get that. Because you can't battle until you know. It's interesting. The protection of salvation. Revelation, we read where there's great persecution of those who come to know the Lord during the time of the tribulation period. And it says this. They overcame, speaking of them overcoming Satan, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. They wrestled not against flesh and blood, but they had the victory because they had the knowledge of salvation. And the last thing here, the Word of God, which is the sword of the Spirit. It's likened to a sword, a weapon of warfare. The weapon we have is the Word of God. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. The Bible says, it's like a hammer that breaks the rocks in pieces. It will never fail. And we have a two-edged sword, the Word of God, that we can cut through the deception of Satan and use it as a weapon for God's honor and glory, not abusing the Word of God, but handling it carefully. We use the Word of God. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but spiritual. The word can break the stones and rocks in pieces. It's the sword we wield against the enemy. Paul told Timothy, preach what? The word. Preach the word. Preach the word. This godless world needs to hear the word. Listen to this verse. God proclaimed through Jeremiah this. Jeremiah 22:29. Oh, earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. I preached that one time when they had Earth Day. Oh, earth, 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 hear the word of the Lord. That's our sword. You say, well, they don't believe the Bible. Yeah, well, you prick them with a sword, they'll believe it. Well, I just don't believe that sword could cut. Yeah, it does. It pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Use it. Use the word. I'm not ashamed of the word of God. If it's my only answer, let them call me a Bible-thumping dummy. Because it's my sword. It's my sword. I want you to notice something in closing. We're still missing one ingredient. Look at verse number 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Prayer is the action that empowers the army or the armor. It's the action that empowers the armor. The exercise of the Christian soldier. The sword, without the power of prayer, isn't as effective. The shield of faith, without the power of prayer, isn't as effective. The knowledge of salvation without the energy of prayer isn't as strong. Prayer is the engaging power that makes the armament effective for the Christian. Praying always. Prayer is like plugging your cell phone in every night. Your cell phone will not operate effectively very long without its sufficient charge. Right? Doesn't that irritate you? I mean, come on, right? Oh, really? The battery? I needed to make this call. Well, you just think about that as a Christian, because you're going to face a battle from Satan, and you better be plugged in. That energy spiritually that you need comes from God. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Seeking God's empowerment and involvement in the fight. Lord, I'm wrestling against Satan. I need your strength. Stand in the power of his might. Prayer engages the power of God for the Christian to stand in the battle. Prayer undergirds others as we pray for them in the battle, as we've prayed for people that have been ill, as we've prayed for Debbie, as she's gone through this battle with cancer. Prayer energizing the armament that God has given us. Two actions expected. Sharing the gospel is our marching order, and prayer is our source of power. Are you ready for battle? I don't think we have to go through a ritual of putting these, quote, things on. We just need to do them. I know many of you are facing some real difficult battles. Put on the armor of God. Others need you to stand. They're counting on you. Don't let the enemy break through. God has given you the armor. Put it on daily. And stand for him. Quit fooling around. Don't let the devil break through those ranks. Stand. We're in a line across as Christians, and we can't let them through on any side. So stand where you are, who you are. Stand. God has given you the armor, put it on. Truth, righteousness, the gospel message, faith, salvation, the word of God, prayer. Christians can be and need to be battle ready. Isaac Watts, great Christian songwriter, wrote the following words in the early 1700s. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? Shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, endure the pain, supported by thy word. Battle ready. God help us stand. Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. And Lord, you've given us so many things to help us in the Christian life. But Lord, looking at it from this vantage point that we're in a battle, you've given us the armor that we need to be effective, to win in our corner. So give us grace to engage what you've shared with us here. I pray for the Christian who's weakest this morning, that you'd give them the faith from your word to lock into the truth that you've given us, to rest in your power, to advance with your message. Heavenly Father, I pray this morning you'd help that one who's weakest. And then, Lord, help each one this morning to be determined to always be battle ready. We never know what we're going to face and when, so help us to be ready. Now, Father, as we are here this morning with our heads bowed and our eyes closed, I pray if there's anybody here that doesn't really have assurance in his or her heart that they're saved, that they'd get that settled. With our heads bowed, our eyes closed this morning, what a wonderful day it was in my own life when I got that matter settled once and for all. Just trusting God and his word. Maybe you've asked the Lord to be your Savior, but you really weren't sure what you're doing and you're not sure about it. Well, make sure. First and foremost, you need to be saved. Eternity without Jesus Christ is eternal suffering and torment in hell. But eternity as a saved person will allow you to rule and reign with Jesus Christ, joint heirs in all that God has prepared for us with him for eternity. There's no reason why you can't be saved. What's the reason why you won't be? Well, there's no reason why Jesus would not save you if you asked him. No reason at all. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed this morning. Is there anybody who'd say, Pastor Whitman, I'm not sure that I personally am saved. If I died right now, I'm not 100% sure I'd go to heaven. I can't say I've really sincerely called on Jesus Christ to save my soul. But I know he died for me and rose again. I need him today. Is there anyone who'd slip up their hand today? Anybody at all? Anybody at all? In just a moment, we'll stand and sing, and I'd encourage every Christian to say, Lord, help me to be battle ready. Help me to be battle ready. Help me to apply these things in my life. Shall we stand together, please? Heavenly Father, bless the invitation now that you'd be glorified, that we'd be victorious in our daily walk, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Brother Jeff.
On your song sheet, Hiding in Thee.
Save to the rock that is higher than I. My soul in its conflict and sorrow would fly. So sinful, so weary, thine would I.
on the third verse.
How oft in the conflict, when pressed by the foe, I have fled to my refuge and breathed out my woe. How often when trials like sea billows roll, have I hidden in thee, O thou rock of my soul, hiding in thee, hiding in thee, the best rock of ages, I'm hiding in thee.
Couldn't help but think of Brother Stan as I prepared for the message and as I preached this morning, but found out after he had gone home to be with the Lord that he had been one of the key wrestlers at Lakeshore High School when he was there, having gone to state-level wrestling meets or matches, state championship level, three times. And I don't know that he won it three times, but he went there three times, and I wished he'd have been here this morning so I could have goaded him a little bit. But then he would have taken me down afterwards. So, but anyway, miss Brother Stan. I was out back at the church Saturday, and I was thinking about him. He'd usually been there to mow the lawn or make sure it was tidied up, and he's in heaven. Amen. He's rejoicing, but we sure miss him here. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessing. Thank you for giving us the wherewithal to be what you want us to be in this day. Help us to engage it, to apply it on a daily basis, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you are dismissed. Amen.